for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday morning, July the 5th, 2005. Fourth of July week family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim Landry of Beaumont, Texas, is the minister on this end of this service.
Father, we pray this morning that our hearts be fertile. Father, that we're able to receive the engraft word which is able to deliver our souls, that we might be fruitful, be able to share the good news of the gospel. So we submit ourselves to you this day, God. And we just thank you right now for the anointing of God. The anointing, oh God, that makes the difference. Father, we are privileged to be in your presence today for reproof, for correction, for exhortation, the ministry, that we might minister to the body, minister to the lost, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, God bless you and good afternoon. In May, I shared on a message of strange fire. And so for those of you that were here, you may hear a few comments, but I assure you that true to who He is, the Father has given us some new wine. And so this morning's subject will be about delegated authority and draft dodgers in the spirit. We are and have been commissioned by God with an additional anointing of the ministry of healing and deliverance. And with that comes a responsibility. But how many of you know that there are many that have received this revelation that have distanced themselves from authority? Because you are in this so important ministry and you are here today to receive strength, to return back to your ministries, I feel the Lord is impressive upon my heart again today to share about authority. For if we do not understand authority, we would do nothing but fail in ministry to the captives. This is so important. For over the years, I have ministered for a number of years, 19 years, and I've seen a number of situations. And as I look back over the years and look at the failures, it had to do with authority issues. Now, in Isaiah 1, I'd like to read a few scriptures to you in Isaiah 1, because I believe that there is a parallel between not submitting to authority, being in rebellion, and spiritual infirmities. Many individuals today are suffering with migraines, terrible headaches, neck problems, back problems, or just pain racked through their whole bodies because of rebellion to God's authority, because of rebellion to God's delegated authority. Yes, there are some issues because of mercury inoculations that are no longer in our vaccines that are the root of some attention deficit disorders. But I assure you, in these first few verses of Isaiah, you'll find the root to a lot of mental illness, bipolar, because of the result of our fathers not honoring God, or we not honoring God. I believe that there has been a mass aggressiveness by Satan and his demons to take the minds of the people. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah, Jerusalem, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, hear, O heavens, and give ear. Now, he's not talking about hear to himself in the heavens. He's talking about, O ye heavens. For the Lord has spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, the mule his master's crib, but Israel doeth not know, My people do it not consider. O sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They have gone away backwards. Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises, petrifying sores, they have not been closed, neither bound up with ointment. I believe that there is a spiritual parallel, for we have found over the years that many of those that have come for help with infirmities, that particularly in the area of the head and the shoulders and the neck, it was a result of an issue with authority. Fathers not submitting to dad, not submitting to leadership, in some area of authority. Of course, there were the issues that deal with unforgiveness and hate, which ushered in stress, anxiety, tension, etc. But this morning, I want to share a little bit about the spiritual perspective, or the spiritual bastards in the spirit, draft dodgers who refuse to submit to God's delegated authority. Now, you're here today properly because you have been commissioned and you desire to work in the fullest of the capacity that God has given you in your ministries. And I'm confident that most of you, if not all of you, are interested and are fully functioning in the ministry of deliverance and healing. God is the one that's given you the revelation of this so needed ministry. Today I would like to speak with you concerning the role of the delegated authority, because if we don't get this issue corrected and get it right with Scripture, then you're going to fall and those that you minister to will fall. It is essentially necessary that we maintain an attitude of surrender and submission to authority. We must repent of this treason. God alone is responsible for His leaders. God alone delegates authority, and He holds the delegated authorities accountable to delegate authority. Authority is a very important thing with God. In Romans, the 13th chapter, God has, verse 1, has established all authority. Now, I feel like I'm probably ministering to the choir, as they say, because I'm certain that you wouldn't be here if you had this issue. But I can assure you this, that the people that you're going to minister to, a lot of them going to have this issue. And if you can get past the drive just to want to lay hands, and the drive just to want to hurt and pray for people, and sit down for a moment and just talk to them, you're going to realize that they're not under the umbrella of God's authority. They're not in a position to be blessed. See, God wants us positioned so that we can be blessed. And I found over the years, it takes some time, but we need to take a little time and take a little inventory of those that you and I are going to minister to. Here in Romans 13, it says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher authorities. For there is no authority but of God. The authorities that be ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the authority, resisteth the authority or the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves judgment." Now God is the one that has established authority. All things were created through God's authorities, and all of the physical laws of the world are maintained by authority. There are authority figures. There are spiritual authorities. Yesterday, I think Pastor Glenn mentioned, or it was Doc, I'm not certain, how daily at the camp, how important it is to pray for our authority figures and to pray for our spiritual authorities. And this should be a practice in each and one of our lives on a daily basis. And I particularly was excited when I heard Pastor Glenn mentioned, not only our president and his daughters, but his counselors. And so we should be mindful of all authority, for we have legislators in our authority figures who legislate our laws. And we need the Christian agenda moved and encouraged. Amen? There are various authorities, and each have their delegated authority. In the heavenlies, God has angels. On earth, God has delegated authorities. God is the one that has delegated pastors and apostles and prophets, teachers, evangelists for the perfecting of the body of Christ. And each delegated authority, each of their offices, have a particular responsibility. The pastors are guard, evangelists gather, apostles govern, prophets guide, and teachers ground the congregation in the Word of God. And so this is why it's important that we go to fellowship and become a part of a work. Well, you say, well, I'm in a part of a work, but they don't have a prophet. How do you know you're not the prophet? Because you left so quick to become a part of a 566 seat in one of the mega churches. How do you know that you're not the prophet or the evangelist in wanting? God's delegated authority represents Himself, and they work in a command system of accountability and submission that is instituted from the throne of God. Satan, on the other hand, and his principalities represent him. And they work in submission to each other. Demons also operate in a chain of command. Now, if we understand the basic authority structure of God, the question is this morning, why do we have so many members of the body, I'm talking about the body of Christ, that are separated from authority? You know, they are those do-it-alls, know-it-alls. Something is wrong. Serving independent and not accountable to God's delegated authority is very dangerous. The whole head will be sick. The whole body will be pained, particularly to those that have the revelation of healing and deliverance. You want what you measure out to return. If you're measuring out poison, then what do you expect to return to you? People to serve without order, to serve without obedience to authority, is strange fire. Now, in May, the message that God placed on my heart was strange fire. And but generally, at the camps, I teach on deliverance. How many of you know that this is deliverance? Because you're going to be confronted with this as God's potential leaders. And I just want you to take time. In fact, God wants you to take time and do a little inventory of those that you're going to minister to, because truly, I have found that much of the issues is with authority. They are constantly coming and going. I call them seminar hoppers, convention hoppers, but never able to come to the truth because they don't want to submit to any authority. And they never get victory, but they always have something negative to say about the church they attend. So, I hope you had a light breakfast today, because I am not here to rain on anyone's parade, but I'm simply trying to keep you alive in this ministry. Although we may leave a little early, whatever. We go, we come. As long as you go to heaven, you love your life, you're going to lose it anyway. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, the Lord has a very powerful statement concerning those who will be doing the great and mighty works. And we have to admit that in a ministry where we are permitted to learn and become disciples in the ministry of balance to our ministry, and the balance is that we also function in healing and deliverance. That's not everything, but we do. That these scriptures should apply a lot more to us because we gather more together. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many would say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess, Jesus said unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Here Jesus warns us that in the days, the follower of his death, burial, and resurrection, that there would be many that would share the gospel with others, but would be in self-deception. People, obedience to authority, submission to delegated authority, serving with order, is doing the will of the Father. Jesus said here in verse 21, "Not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." And unfortunately, we have far too many independent workers separated from authority, prophesying, casting out demons, and many other wonderful works that will one day face God. And some, unfortunately, will hear, "I never knew you. Depart from me that work iniquity." But it doesn't have to be that way. There's a rebellion to authority that's being exhibited by many independent deliverance and healing workers ministries throughout the country. And this is treason. It must be repented of, for the Lord is not pleased with such treason. To serve without an order, to serve without obedience to authority, is offering up strange fire. We know that in Leviticus 8, that God spoke to Moses and gave Moses the commandments, gave Moses the ordinances, and Moses spoke to Aaron and gave Aaron the responsibilities as a priest. And he spoke to the congregation in that order. First, there was a spoken word of God. God spoke and gave commandments to commandments to Moses to give to Aaron the priest, and then to the congregation. And that was the standard of the order of day. So what happened in Leviticus 10? Why would Aaron's two sons venture off to offer up sacrifices independent of the priest? Well, God struck them with a penalty of death because they offered up strange fire. They serve without an order. They serve without submission to authority. They serve without obedience to authority. And God said it was strange fire. Far too many workers today, with the revelation of deliverance, the revelation of healing, has ventured off by themselves. And I believe that as a result of that, the spiritual equivalent would be a curse of death that's upon them. And the Lord is calling for repentance. And he's designed to provide restoration. How many of you know that our God is a restoring God? I know this might sound like a very difficult time of ministry, but as I share it with you, I see the people that you're going to minister to. I'm not getting any feelings or how you say, where the mirror is, where it's coming back, hitting you in the face. I don't feel anything. Because I know that we are preparing you as God is commission us to for the ministry. You're here refueling yourselves. On the other hand, if there are those here that have this issue, well, thank God that you're here. Because God's sheep hear his voice, right? Amen. But I don't know, so. We need one another. I can tell you this much. There's a war going on, and only with workers that are accountable to authority can we maximize deliverance and mitigate casualties. That's the only way we're going to minimize the casualties in this work, is that we are accountable to authority. Now, concerning leadership, God is equipping each one of you as potential leaders in God's army. There are four essential elements to leadership, to becoming a leader in God's army. And each of those elements are equal in measure. They are accountability, responsibility, ability, authority. Each of them are equal in measure, and all of God's leaders possess them. The Word of God will be their only standard of reference. What are an unequal measure? What is an unequal measure? We have a prayer session. Someone comes for help. We spend 2 hours and you assist, or the individual assists you, on fire, aggressive, ready to do the work of ministry, jumping in the battle, fighting in the trenches. They have accountability. You can depend on them to work with you to help get a person set free. But when it's over with, they don't stay around to clean up the garbage cans, help you secure the place. So they lack in responsibility and measure. We delegate someone to take care of the grounds. But they take the lawnmower and run over the paper. Out of measure. Measure is good. But there's an issue there with responsibility. So where's a lacking in the measure? So, are all four essential elements manifesting in your ministry and those that you are delegating at your local churches for ministry? Must have all four. Now, we have all been commissioned to cast out devils, to heal the sick in Jesus' name. Amen. But that doesn't qualify a minister for leadership. Whoa, I cast out devils. We're going to start the first apostolic church of deliverance. No one can be an authority in God's army who has not faithfully submitted to an authority. God is not looking for independent anointings. It's only one anointing from God. Have you been faithful to another man's work? Or you just like to be attached to the work? We're going to talk a little bit about that. In Luke, the 16th chapter, verse 12, Jesus said, "If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" I'm going to take mine. I'm going to take my ministry. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to go on my retirement plan. I'm going to make sure we feed the poor. I don't need it supernaturally. God's put it in my pension. I travel enough with Brother Jim. I'll be as Brother Jim. Well, there's some truth to that. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But on the other hand, many have second agendas. God has sent me here. I've traveled thousands of miles to learn leadership, to be a part of the work. God wants me to be in the ministry to help captives, set the captives free. Also, I have a song ministry, Brother Jim. I play so-and-so, you know, and I do so-and-so. I played almost every instrument. Done most everything you can think of. I was, what the call said, he was a lesser. I was lesser than a lesser. And I probably did more than Paul did. Well, he killed a few people. I tried. So true leaders are somewhat suspect of those who want to bring their second masters. Because you don't have room for anything else when you get involved in this. Or either, I tell you what, you come, I need help, and you tell me I'll be back at 6 because tonight I got to do a recital. Everybody's got to do their part, but if you've been commissioned in the war, the soldiers don't concern them things about the things in this world. You have to give up the girls, the gold, and the glory, or the guys, the gold, and the glory. I mean, you got to think about it, you know. All vanities. What is your relationship like with your pastors, where you are? Now, don't tell me. Don't tell me. But I'll tell you this, what I've observed during the past several years in a number of deliverance workers that have come, not only here, we do, I don't know how many seminars around the country and at home, and we just had a wonderful one last week with Jerry McGee. But what I have been able to detect and discern over the years is a number of independent workers who work separate from authority. And a lot of their comments have been to me and those that I've overheard, "The Lord called me to be the prophet," or whatever. "And I'm not under anyone, any man, but God. So don't tell me nothing. The Lord placed me in His ministry," comment two. "And the Holy Spirit will teach me, not a man." Number three, "I cannot find a church in my city practicing deliverance. We just meet at our home in different places, and we travel to seminars." And the list goes on and on and on. And I'm not saying that there may not be some truth to some of these issues. But do we really understand the anointing that God gives to the pastor, the delegated authority of God, the gatherer, the one that intercedes and that loves you unconditionally, that will tell you as a spiritual voice from God's Word when you stray? Do you understand the importance of the under-shepherd of God? If there's a man of God or woman of God in your city that loves God's Spirit, doesn't have a second agenda, trying to promote a second agenda in their work, just a good old Holy Ghost church that loves God, believes in healing, understands deliverance, and that people have to be delivered from demons, and that it is scriptural, but not to the extent that you know it because you read all 263 pages of Frank Hammond's book, Pages of Pardon. Now, you don't understand the umbrella of his anointing in lifting your ministries one day if you learn how to submit. Now, I'm not talking about if some of the things I've described are not present. You can't tell me in your city they don't have one man of God like that. And if you see otherwise, it's because you're probably judging. And what you see is really what's in you. Now, I'm not saying they're in abundance, but you can't tell me it's just some good old Holy Ghost love, pastor, fall down there and pray with you all night. But you know how to break it this, and you know how to do this, and you know a little bit more, because strategically for 7-8 years you've been studying the depths of deliverance. So now God says, sit and receive this anointing before you're able to go do this anointing. Then there are loafers, always looking to join some group, but they got to remain independent of authority. They are, I call them mail order associates. I believe many of these are charlatans that have issues with judgments against their father, judgments against their pastors, judgments against their spouses, judgments against their supervisors at work, judgments against their commandos in the military, their star sergeants. They just got issues with everybody. So most of them will take up karate, gun, fishing, vantage in dressing, and et cetera, in order to be somebody or to be some type of authority. You cannot submit to God or God's earthly authority, then you're serving independent from God. Now, on the other hand, when a minister controls his congregation with fear and intimidation, this is witchcraft. Anyone who tries to use the power of the Word of God to influence others to, in order to have his own selfish way, is operating in a charismatic witchcraft. And I'm using the term charismatic witchcraft to describe any misuse of spiritual soulish power to manipulate or control others. And most Christians would be horrified at the suggestion that God's people operate in witchcraft. But it is one of the works of the flesh listed in Galatians 5:20, isn't it? And it was written to the Christians at Galatia. So, have you noticed over the years, without judging, have you noticed that those in the church who act very spiritual, often their speech will be filled with, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that, when it is clear in their lives and in their directions with their lives, it is not God at all. But not to them is clear, because they are not accountable and they are undisciplined. To them, God is in constant communication with them concerning even the smallest details of their lives. But these same super spiritual people often try to manipulate others. They want to take control and have others looking to them as spiritual giants. We need to be very cautious of those that we minister to that come pretending to be in submission to receive help, but in themselves are there to establish their own ministries and their own righteousness. For they will be a cancer in the flock and draw many foolish ones unto their own way. When this is detected or discerned by God's delegated authorities and the individual is confronted, few accept correction, particularly those that are separated from authority. When you have accepted correction, you just move forward. When you have not accepted correction, you always remind the minister or anybody else that you see that's familiar with your issue how you was disciplined of your issue. That's like I have more females licensed through our ministry, and I can tell when, particularly, I'm going to use the issue of a female, is not ready for ministry when she begins the text with, I thank God that Pastor Landry allowed me to teach here, because I've been in a lot of man churches. They won't let me preach. I ain't delivered yet. But we don't want to start out getting the offense of offended people agreeing with you. And now you're going to draw attention for Pastor Landry's anointing on that ministry now. So you go in there to win the favor of the head deacon or deaconess or whatever. So that's just one example. Because we got men too. I had a man come into church about 10 years ago. He said he was with, I'm going to call their names, because, and I don't have anything to say against the names. I'm just not going to help you say, oh, that's my friend. I love him. I read his books. I'm not promoting anything but Jesus. But anyway, he came in. He told me he can quote 32,000 scriptures. I don't know if my wife remembered, or Sister Carolyn back there, which is pastor of our youth department. Actually, she oversees the church in my absence. But he told us he can quote 32,000 scriptures. And he had Pastor Moody and Earlene's book on Red Manual Deliverance. So I was kind of, I didn't jump out there and say, I know them. They come stay at my house all the time. I said, oh, really? Oh, yeah. Hey, Brother Glenn. I mean, Brother Gene. Got a gentleman down here in Beaumont, Texas, over at another person's church. He wants to come by and visit. He just told me he can quote 32,000 scriptures. Boy, my God, I like a man like God. Lay hands on me. He stole my books. He going to use my name. And we have nothing to do with him. I said, thank you. Pow! Within 2 years, he was dead. That man wasn't 50 years old when I met him. This is dangerous stuff. People just want to be authority, but they won't submit to authority. Well, when you try to bring correction to such an individual, sometimes they will respond like, well, God told me to do this, or God told me to do that. I have no choice but to obey God, Brother Jim. But then you need to tell them what the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14:32. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. In other words, God never gives a prophet a word or a certain word and forces him to speak it. He never does that. Charismatic witchcraft workers use the works of the flesh and a false spirituality to gain influence and power over others. And this can be done easily in the healing and deliverance ministries because of the vulnerability of the captives. Now, I'm certain that you've all heard the expression that birds of a feather flock together. As a minister, I've observed over and over that where you find an individual with strange behavior, unproven and unorthodox doctrines, rebellious, those in their associations may often have the same characteristics. There's a saying in Christian circles that more is caught than taught. I believe that if an individual is a sheep, now what does God's word say about sheep? They hear his voice and obey. And not a goat, because what? Goats don't what? Change. A goat is not going to change. But I believe that if an individual is a sheep and not a goat, their submission and association to leadership will affect their attitudes. Leaders of God make leaders. Goats have more goats. No change. The Word of God gives us illustrations of such transfers and importations and mantles, anointings from associated with true men and women of God. Let us turn to 2 Kings, the second chapter. In 2 Kings, the second chapter, verse 2, it says, and Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Again, in verse 4, Elijah said unto Elisha again, tarry here. I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, the soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. Verse 6, Elijah said unto him again, tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Because Elisha determined to remain close to Elijah and serve him, he alone among the company of young prophets received the mantle of Elijah and a double portion of his anointing. Three times Elijah tested Elisha. I remember hearing of a test that was given to a missionary. young man had spent some time in the Bible college and desired to go on the mission fields overseas. And his pastor told him to meet him about 4 o'clock on Friday morning, or it was Friday or Saturday morning, in his study, and that the office would be open. And the young man, on that Friday or Saturday, whatever it was, how the story goes, arrived at 4 o'clock and sat. 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. And at 8 o'clock, pastor walked in, shook his hand, blessed him, sat down, signed the papers, and said, "Here, son, may God bless you." And the young man said, "Well, pastor, wasn't it something I was supposed to do?" He said, "You already done it. You passed the first test. And the test that is necessary for you to go on a missionary field. Patience." We were driving in from Dallas 2 days ago, and we stopped over for fuel. And Sister Carolyn had the children. They were in the restroom, and I had filled, well, I didn't fill the van. I put some gas in the van. I was trying to get to a different type of gas. And so I moved the van, and my wife and I was talking, and I went in the store, and I came back out, and I went in again. I said, "Well, Carolyn, is the children ready?" She said, "Yeah, are they over here?" I said, "I walked back, and they were playing the ping pong machines." I said, "Children, leave now." And you should have seen it, just like the military. Whoop! And Carolyn said, "I told them that they could play a game." I said, "Well, okay, I'll take care of it." And I went in the car. I said, "Sister Carolyn told me that she had told you that y'all could play a game, and I've apologized to her." All right? Now, I didn't apologize to the children. And I mentioned to my wife while we were driving down the road, I say, they all have the making of believers. Not one gave me an explanation for why they could do it. Why do we do this? Pastor Glenn said, "Brother Jim, come up here and bless the offering." Well, I want to thank y'all for being here today. God is so good what He's given. He didn't tell me to do all that. He didn't say that. That's what you want to do. And so you have to watch these things in your ministry while you're developing disciples under your ministry. And shut it down now. They'll appreciate it later in your ministries as God has elevated you as pastors and leaders. 3 times Elijah tested Elisha by asking him to remain behind as he went about doing the Lord's work. But Elisha refused to leave the side of his master. Elijah, knowing that he was about to be taken up to heaven, asked Elisha in 2 Kings 2:9, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I am taken away from thee." And Elisha said, and he prayed for the double portion of the Spirit be upon me. And the scriptures continue on down to verse 13. "He took up also the mantle of Elijah and fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan." Now, the Bible records that Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah. He did indeed receive the Spirit, mantle, and anointing of Elijah in double portion as he had believed, submitting to authority. Now, there's a New Testament example here in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, of the transfer of the anointing of the Apostle Paul and his son in the Lord, Timothy. That is a teaching in itself. No other man was as faithful to serve Paul as Timothy. In Philippians 2:19, the scripture says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who would naturally care for your state." For all, that's the kind of report that we should all desire of our leadership, without getting in their face trying to get it. "For all seek their own ministries." But it doesn't say ministries. "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me." Because Timothy associated so closely with Paul and actively sought to learn from him, a mantle of Paul's ministry and anointing rested upon Timothy. This is not an independent incident. This is the mentoring process of God. Paul could send Timothy as an ambassador, knowing that he would not misrepresent him or the Lord, because Timothy didn't have
a second agenda, a ministry on the side that he was really promoting while he was using Lake Hamilton to get him where he needed to be, from A to B. Now, when I go out of state, out of city to teach, I am under the authority of Pastor Glenn and as an evangelist of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. So those of you that have asked us to come to New York, different places like that, I'm not coming independent of authority. I come as a representative, and I'm going to be careful. Well, God's going to be careful, and he's going to show me how to be careful with my words. He's going to do what he has to do through me, because I'm going to yield to authority. This is God's mentoring process. He has delegated authorities to mentor you. However, many are attempting to bypass God's plan and skip the personal mentoring process in lieu of accountability to television and radio personalities, of which many are ministering through demonic powers and doctrines of demons today. If you're a minister who has been delegated and you are designated within your local church as an elder or other functioning office, and you're in rebellion to authority, pretending to submit, this attitude is going to be reflected in a lack somewhere in the sheepfold of that congregation. All positions, regardless of how unimportant you may think it is, are delegated positions and are a protection to the sheep. I sure would like to know that my 8-year-old grandson will be going to a bathroom that some delegated authority has ensured there would not be feces on the toilet stool. So all positions in the church is important. Every one of them. If you're murmuring, you're complaining, judging, sharing your issues, sharing these type of issues about leadership in your congregations and your places of ministry, then you are a herdsman of goats and not an under-shepherd of sheep. You have to ask yourself the question, am I a protection to the sheep or am I a developer of goats? Am I interested in establishing God's crowd or am I drawing a crowd? Goats don't change. Sheep do. Do you have a tendency to judge or be critical of delegated authority and their delegated authorities? Then repent. Thank God that he allows you maybe to see something that could be changed. I'm certain that David saw a lot of things and saw that could be changed. He wouldn't touch his anointed. He wouldn't do his prophet any harm. So you're going to see things. And it's part of your preparation process as a leader. All leaders in God's army must have a road to Damascus experience. In Acts, the 9th chapter, Saul met the Lord. Amen? In Acts, the 9th chapter, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any in the way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. But Saul met the Lord. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. That's enough! Why we started this way, and we have decided to go our own way? Who have been with you? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and it shall be told thee, in verse 6, what thou must do. Before Paul knew authority, Paul tried to wipe out the church. And isn't this not what the independents and those that are not submitting to authority are doing? They are also wiping or attempting to wipe out the church. After Paul met the Lord, and I did not say that the Lord met him, which is the conduct of many, but after Paul met the Lord on the road to Damascus, he saw that it was hard for human power to kick against God's authority. When Paul met Jesus, he immediately fell to the ground and acknowledged Jesus as Lord. But that seems to be a new experience moving across the country where some believers are acknowledging certain spiritual movements and the new mega church standard or manifestations as God's measure of success. Bigger is better. bigger is God. These individuals that are leaders of these movements and groups are being sought for licensing, being sought for ordinations. There are packs of churches in my community alone. When I inquire of the leadership of whose authority they are under, and of course this is not done in an arrogant way, it's just that I work with a lot of leaders in our city as I'm in charge of the Southeast Texas Spiritual Warfare Committee. And so I want to know who I'm serving with since they come from different denominations. And most, a lot of them that have started independent works are, have mail order churches. And some of them never would go and get licensed and got prayed for by the pastor, but they can't just call and say, Brother Glenn, I got an issue. You got to go through the chain of command before you can get to the man. And I know a lot of these. My heart goes out to them because I know they mean well because they were in churches where they were thrown out because they got into the spirit, started learning about deliverance, you know. So these individuals that are leaders of these movements and groups are being sought for licensings and ordination by hundreds watching the televisions, and others are going to these services and desiring these ministers to become their pastors. Now, I'm not convinced that all these groups and movements are not of the Lord. I know they are. I know they got some of the Lord. I'm confident of that. But there's still those that are not of God, and they are enjoying the numbers game, and they boast of their great numbers, their great attendance records, and, of course, many of the people who attend are visitors. And this is really happening. Even the secular world is catching on to it, and they want them on their national talk shows. I'm not putting down anybody. Trust me, I'm not. Because you may have just seen one because he was highlighted. There's a lot more coming on late nights. These types of groups are a camping ground for recruitment of independent and non-accountable workers designed to be affiliated with some highly visible spiritual movement or religious group. It's just a nest for it. I'm seeing a shift from God's mentoring process of future delegated authorities. I wonder how it's going to affect us in years to come. Because the enemy has desire to bring forth spiritual bastards, men and women of God that are without chastisement of the Lord. But I am seeing a shift, and I don't know what it's going to look like 20 years from now, from the mentoring process of future delegated authorities to network marketers operating in the flesh. And I don't know if it's much different than an Amway meeting or Mary Kay meeting or whatever. I'm in! I got my $120. A new class of ministers serving without obedience to authority, not accountable to another man's work, independence, and God says you got to repent. And this tape is going out because this is treason to many, many people. And once again, I know I'm preaching to the choir here. I don't have any judgment against anybody. We got issues. Brother Jim got issues too. We all got something in the closet we're dealing with. Well, you don't need Jesus. But authority should not be one of the main issues. You want to get that right quick. You need to pray for a road to Damascus experience if you hadn't had one. After Paul's road to Damascus experience, he was able to submit to the directions given him by Ananias. And how could Paul, intelligent, educated, clever, and a capable person, submit to the words of Ananias, an unknown brother that's mentioned only once? His name is mentioned a couple of times, but only in reference to once in the Bible. How could Paul submit to him if he had not known authority? Now, that's places that you and I have come out of, perhaps. Well, you couldn't even get to the authority without going through the succession of chain of command. And though this is the way it is in leadership in many cases, but those that have met authority, this is not an issue anymore. Had Paul not encountered authority on the road to Damascus, he could have never submitted to Ananias. A few minutes. Lord, give us some revelation. Many leaders are in need of the same experience. As a leader in God's army, we who are so self-righteous and yet so blind need once in our life to encounter God's authority. Every one of us must have a road to Damascus experience. God is requiring that each of us meet authority before we begin our various ministries to effectively and properly engage the enemy in spiritual warfare. The enemy, Satan and his principalities, are a disciplined group who don't take breaks. And they have a hierarchy and a chain of command. And I think it's clearly illustrated in Frank Hammond's book, Pigs in the Parlor. of the chain of command of the enemy. But how many know that God has a chain of command? And God has men that won't bow to Baal. And God has a men that will go forward and be faithful in the commission that God has given them. And this is why you're here. You're not draft dodgers in the flesh. Might be, used to be draft dodgers in the flesh. I didn't always submit to authority. I was brought up Catholic, Christian, Methodist, baptized, Baptist, been Elijah, Muhammad, you know, take sale, Rev Day anniversary. Well, I mean, I didn't arrive yesterday. So maybe you haven't arrived yet. But today is a new day. So you don't have to come to me after service. That was for me, Brother Jim. I have this issue. I don't even want to know. I just want to continue like it is. And you get your business right. If you have to get your business right. But certainly the tape will affect, hopefully, many. Despite the falling away of many from authority, many are accountable. And many have heard the message of God and understand the importance of authority, repenting, and have sought spiritual covering from Lake Hamilton, from Peter and Doris Wagner, and other accountable works throughout the world. There are many accountable works. But you or someone in your fellowship have been a victim of this satanic ploy where you have judged your pastors, spoke against leadership, or even thought evil of leadership. Then we can start fresh today and repent. As I look back, I come through many, many leaders. There were some times when I didn't understand what leadership was doing. I look back, I can see it was well worth it. I thank God for those men and women of God that helped me in the early years. Well, maybe you didn't have those issues. You didn't think evil of leadership. You didn't think when they told you to sit down or we don't need you to help with the prayer right now. You didn't snap around and say, well, I thought I was on the healing team. Something is wrong. I tell you what, I want to be in the first line when it's time to go to help them. But I'm on the last line when it's time to do war because I want God in front. And we got it all mixed up. Nobody... It's more, I want to make sure I don't say this in the wrong sense. Let me put it like this. I am as committed as you can be because I'm in this thing to win it. But in all of this excitement and the attitude to win and to see the captain set free, I'm under authority. I will not sit down with those that are not careful about their words. And there are individuals here that are friends of mine. And they know that they're friends of mine. They'll tell you. I talked to Brother Jimmy just by the time he got to filling up my can, I wasn't that left in there to eat. But that's because of the pastor relationship. And I have been given right by them as submitting to authority to share as a personal voice the word of God to them. Well, some of us, maybe not here, but those that have received the tapes or those that are in your ministries will put up a wall. And they would try to develop a sensual relationship with you, a fleshly relationship with you, eating and going out, riding together, and destroy the bonding process that God has intended for you to have with them. Because now they're not in a position where you can tell them anything because they know all of your issues. Now, I'm speaking to future leaders here. I'm not telling you to be antisocial, not to intermingle with the congregation, because I do. The only person who calls me pastor at the local church is someone who just got there. But what I am saying is, be careful of who you associate with and the mentoring process that God has given you responsibility for, because you know, many of you know that the authority and the anointing that God is currently disciplining your ministries for as future pastors, prophets, evangelists, teachers, etc. So in this process of growth and your submission to authority, be mindful that not everyone is interested in submitting to authority. They are trying to be with authority so authority doesn't read their mail. Why don't we stand? I hope this tape will help someone that you know that you've been trying to talk to and said, that's their issue. That's the problem. That's the problem. That's the problem. I cannot share this with you from within if I had not, if this had not been my issue personally. Coming from a divorced family, trying to acquire the love of a father and the love of a mother, being divided, and then getting involved in church from a young child all the way into manhood, and the issues I had with submitting to authority, but one day I had a road to the master's experience. I'm serious, it's real. I'm serious, people. You can have this experience. It is such a wonderful experience. In fact, Father, we just pray for those that have not had their road to the master's experience, oh God. And God, refresh my road to Damascus experience. Father, we willfully submit to you, O God. And O God, in our prayer today, God, we want to submit to your work. We want to submit to your delegated authority. And we confess to you, God, that in the past, we may have judged in our mouths or in our hearts because we didn't understand leadership. We didn't understand their decisions. We didn't understand why they told us to stop or to do things, Father, that caused us to be a little uncomfortable. Oh, God, forgive us, because as the years have progressed, we have just buried those things and those feelings and those thoughts. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit today unburying those things and bringing them up to the surface so we can repent of it and establish the work you've called us to be, Lord God, pure, and a work that is submitting to authority. God, for those that don't have delegated authorities, God, grant them delegated authorities, Father, that their ministry, Lord God, will be found faithful to another man's work and that you are able to establish their work. Those that are ministering to individuals at home when they return that have this issue, God, grant them the revelation, Father, on how to deliver the message. For it is simple, God. All things have been established by you. And, Father, you have established authority. God, I bless the congregation of the Lord. Lord, we thank you for the deliverance that we all are receiving this hour and the deliverance for our congregations, for our prayer meetings, our prayer partners, and all that we're in contact with, Father, for the increase that will come to the congregation of the Lord because we have chosen to be obedient to authority. Father, we repent right now of our sins. We ask that the blood of Jesus would cleanse us of our sins. Father, bring to our remembrance anything that we have said in word or deed that have challenged authority. Oh God, forgive us for our sin. Father, we desire only to be a servant, to please you, God, that you might be exalted, oh God, and that souls might be drawn unto you. Father, I pray to rebuke the spirit of guilt and condemnation and judgment. Rebuke the isolation and critical spirits and those demons that are trying to work on the minds of the people because of the message, Father. And pray, Father, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Father, it would bring forth fruit for the kingdom in our lives. And that we are today, people, today, God, a people that is having our spiritual gardens, Father, cleansed from the tares that we have received when we were asleep to this truth. Lord, we thank you for removing these spiritual tares and that our gardens, God, are a garden, God, that will bring forth fruit for the kingdom. We lay down our lives before thee, God. And we ask you, God, that your will be done. And God, we may detect, we may discern, we may observe as we grow along the way errors of leaders and errors of ministry, God. But we'll be careful about our word. We will thank you for the detection and the discernment. And we'll be careful about who we share these things with if you desire we share them with anyone. But thank you, God, that we can intercede and pray and that we have the discernment, Lord, to follow the straight and narrow path. But because we know, God, that not all men serve you, Father, but some serve their own bellies and their flesh. So, God, today we stand before thee as your servants, accountable. We stand to serve with order and to serve in obedience to authority. I take authority over the strong man of strange fire that entered our bosom when we rejected and did not serve to authority in the past. And I bind him in the name of Jesus. I bind him in the name of Jesus. with the sword of the Spirit from off the throne of God, hot. We sever and cut out strange fire and all of its underlying elements. And I release into our men and women of God ability from God, authority, responsibility, and accountability. In equal measure, God, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, as we have established that you're God and besides you there are no other, and that you have established delegated authority, Father, we willfully submit to our delegated authority. Father, we honor our Pastor Glenn here. We honor our pastors. Father, we honor our earthly fathers. We honor, God, our president. We honor our authority figures and pray for them. And our spiritual authorities and pray for them. For all authority has been instituted by you, God. And we thank you, God, for the manna from heaven. This day, God, we also pray as we enter into the hour of feeding these earthly vessels for the staff that have worked diligently in the wee hours of the morning to prepare our evening lunch. We bless this food, Father, that it bring nourishment to us. And we pray for the staff. We pray for the camp, God. Oh, they're so wonderful, God. And they have been faithful, Father. And we remind you of their faithfulness and how they continue to be faithful in their labor of love. We bless them. We bless the food in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you. May God keep you. Be encouraged. Don't let the enemy place a condemnation on you. This is a wonderful opportunity of rededication and conviction. Have a great lunch. See you at 1:15. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.